Hey, expats and travelers, welcome to this week's episode sponsored by WorldPost.io, the virtual mailbox service powered by Anytime Mailbox. We'll get to the features and benefits a little later.
If you're interested in becoming an expat, whether you're moving to Portugal or another overseas location, I highly recommend you get your finances in order before you move.
Yes, it's actually really important that you do it before you go.
I know when we first got started, we did not do it that way, but if we knew John McNerney at Green Ocean Global, we would have gone to him, as he's someone that is Lisbon-based and he is experienced with expat financial challenges. So he's a go-to person that we recommend.
Right. He can help you with long-term investments, financial systems, and international taxes.
And he's actually helped us, and producer Dan has used him to explore what it would be like to move abroad and see if it would fit his family's current financial situation.
I think what's great about him is that he gives you personalized plans. He will look into your unique situation and he'll help you out.
And this is honestly what's super necessary, because we get tax questions and finance questions on the YouTube channel and literally no background from the person that's asking us the question. So now we've started to point people to John.
Right, because everyone is different and everyone has their own unique situation. So you need an expert to help you out.
All right, so visit greenoceanglobal.net for contact information and further assistance. Check out the show notes below.
Hello, and welcome, my emerging expat. You're tuned in to Let's Move to Portugal. I'm producer Dan, and I have the distinct honor of bringing you YouTube travelers and our resident Portugal experts, expats everywhere's Josh and Kaylee. Each week, they'll inspire, they'll educate, and they'll accompany you on your journey to Portuguese residency. This week on Let's Move to Portugal, Josh sits down with Tam, an expat entrepreneur who's blending his love for golf, music, and food into a unique business adventure in the heart of Portugal. Join us as we explore the vibrant local culture, the challenges of starting a business abroad, and finding common ground through sports and music.
Hey, expats and travelers alike, welcome back to Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal podcast.
How are you doing? Haha, I beat you to it.
Oh, you did. I don't know if the listeners are going to like that. I'm doing pretty well, actually. I'm pretty pumped up. We just visited the property, which if you're new to this, the property I'm referring to is we're doing a rehab property here in Porto, Portugal, and we have a little YouTube channel that we've started for that, although we haven't been able to upload a video yet. We're getting closer.
Working on it. Also,
we're getting closer, centimeter by centimeter.
Yeah, it looks very slow. But like we were talking today, it looks slow to us because we're seeing it often, as opposed to something that you step away from for a bit and then come back to it and see a lot more growth and movement. But what I want to say too, aside from the property, if you are a new listener, then the reason I jumped in there and asked Josh how he's doing is because for quite a while, he'll do the intro and then he'll say, Kaylee, how you doing? And for, I don't know, months, it's made me laugh. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to jump in there and ask you.
Okay, well, how you doing?
You got me there. I am doing well. Yeah. No, yeah. It was exciting to see some movement at the property today. So, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, we were able to capture some footage. There was a little funny moment as really we arrived and we thought people were going to be there. And there was one guy there and he was waiting on other people to be there. So it was a funny moment. But a couple phone calls and running around the neighborhood. Well, he was running around the neighborhood getting people to move their cars out of the way. We got done what needed to be done.
So, and you'll put some of those pictures on the other channel. Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee.
Yep.
We took some pictures today.
Yeah, I'll do a little community tab update on there, and we'll keep it moving along, right?
Right. So then as far as other things that are moving, we just put out our cost of living video.
Yep.
Last Saturday.
Yep. Updated that. So now it's kind of seeing real-time spending in 2024, what that looks like, how much has changed since 2023. Did we beat inflation?
Big question.
Yeah. And then we had a meetup last week, and we have one coming up in about a month, actually exactly a month's time, April 25th at Cafe Ceuta, which is downtown, like nearest metro would be Aliados here in Porto. So that'll be at 5:30.
I think it starts at 6.
6, okay. Yeah. 6, and it's Carnation Revolution Day, mm-hmm. the celebration.
Big one, yes.
The 50th anniversary, yeah, because I think it happened in 74. So, yeah, kind of a lot going on in the community. And
well, let me jump in there real quick. If you don't know about our meetups and you want to know more, then you can email me at info@expatseverywhere.com and get on our newsletter. I put them in there along with lots of other fun little goodies and stuff. And it's not that often. It's about every 4 to 6 weeks or so that you'll get a newsletter. So it's not like every week or anything. Yep. But we'll have the meetup information there, and then we do it on our social media too.
Yeah, and occasionally we'll catch like discount codes and stuff from different services in the kind of moving abroad sphere, and we pop those into the monthly newsletters as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could end up being a financial savings for a free newsletter.
And then next video coming out is about mortgages, an update on mortgages since the last one we did was about a year ago. So we'll get an update from Raphael on that.
Yep.
So if you're interested in knowing what's going on in the housing market, then that'll be a good one.
Yep.
A lot of fun stuff coming up.
YouTube interviews, that stuff coming up. Some specials on housing, healthcare, that type of stuff. All the stuff that we hope helps you in your journey moving abroad, including this podcast. So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about what to expect in this episode here with Tam, an American that has moved with his wife to Portugal, got bored, and opened up a business.
Got bored. Yeah, I think
not
opening
got
up,
bored.
Yeah, but found an opportunity maybe. But yeah. I think that opening a business is not for the faint of heart here. I think that there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. But he saw a business which is very unique. It's I don't know any of them around Portugal at all. It is Screen Golf.
Screen Golf, yeah. So he got into it. Well, he'll end up explaining it in the interview, but he got into it kind of in COVID, in the COVID time. And it's really a way for people here in Portugal now to gather together and socialize, whether it be locals or expats. So that's cool. We really dig into the music and food and beverage scene here in Portugal, because that's not something that we've spoken about recently. It was like back in episode maybe 1 or 2 with Ross.
Yeah, you talked a lot about
We talked about food, and there was massive feedback on that from the listener, from you, and we appreciate reaching out saying, hey, I want more of that. Let's talk about food. Tell us what the scene is like. So we do go into that, and the scene has really exploded, honestly. And Tam is more into the non-Portuguese cuisine.
Mm-hmm. In Porto versus
Ross talking more about the local stuff.
Yeah, it's actually a good contrast, right?
Great contrast. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear that episode, that's literally our very first episode.
Season 1, episode 1,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So you'll have to go back for that. But
yeah, we have it out on vinyl and 8-track.
What? I was like, what? I thought vinyl. I thought Spotify, Apple Music. I was like, vinyl's another one I don't know of. No.
No. Actually, that'd be a good name for a digital something something.
It would be.
Call it vinyl.
There's got to be something out there like that, though, right?
Maybe, yeah. We digress.
Yeah, as usual. Okay, so any other highlights from Tam? Josh did this interview, so I think anytime Josh does it, I'm always like, ooh, what did you guys talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think that we kind of dig into the cultural things of living in Portugal, and not just Portuguese culture, but just in general, like we talk about football, aka soccer, and then the food and beverage and music scene, because these are all things that he's interested in. We're maybe less interested in music, not that we're disinterested in it, but we're not as interested, so we don't seek it out. It's a little more difficult for us having a 4-year-old taking her to live music. However, we did this past weekend, and she did much better.
She did well.
She did much better.
Well, also, too, a lot of the live music starts really late.
Yep.
So even if we wanted to, it would be more of like a babysitter thing and not, you know, every once in a while type thing.
Yep.
But yes, they can get quite loud, and that bothers her as I think that's usual with kids, but she did it a lot better now. She's getting a little older. It's not so bad. But yeah, we aren't in the scene as much as we are sports, let's say.
Yeah. I guess this is something a little behind the scenes that connects. And it's that on Friday, we got invited out by friends to go to a craft beer festival. And we're currently working on a video that has to do with living off the Portuguese minimum wage. And typically going to these craft beer festivals, it's not inexpensive. So we had to set ourselves a budget, and we did reasonably well with that. You'll see in that video. But a part of that craft beer festival was live music, and there was a Pearl Jam cover band. So that really kind of threw us back to the 90s.
Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. They do like their cover bands, but I can't remember the last time I listened to Pearl Jam. Yeah. So that
and
was
it,
funny.
And it started at 9, so it was a reasonable time.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Valencia did quite well listening for a little over an hour, I guess, mm-hmm. until we left.
Yeah. All right, though, without further ado, chat with Tam.
Let's do it. WorldPost.io is powered by Anytime Mailbox, which means you can get your mail anytime, anywhere, even on your smartphone.
And they really have competitive pricing with their lowest package starting at $5 per month.
Here's a cool feature they have. WorldPost can relay things from the U.S. to Europe. So that includes documents.
Amazon purchases.
Amazon
from the
purchases.
US.
And you can get it to Portugal.
And they have a variety of packages. Some include secure shredding, free junk mail filters, and things like that.
I bet you love that junk mail filter.
Oh, lots of junk mail. I sign up for a lot of newsletters.
She's not joking. So if you're interested in WorldPost.io, you can visit the website or check the link in the show notes below.
Okay, let's talk about Lusitano Dreams, because what they're offering is really great.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Dallas actually has grown Lusitano Dreams since we first met him. So he's really getting his process dialed in. The thing that I like about it is it removes the barrier and choke point of the proof of accommodation, because that's been one of the biggest things that the D7 and the D8 for the long-term people have had problems with, right?
Yeah, it's definitely something that is really hard to lock yourself into sight unseen. But here you can have a legitimate contract. You can rest assured that it's going to be a soft landing because you're coming into a furnished place in a good location and a livable location until you can kind of get your bearings and figure out where you really want to live.
And the cool thing about it is that they can start your lease when you arrive. So you're not like burning a few months of cash, essentially paying for an apartment or paying for a lease that you're not using.
Yeah, that's one that's really hard to negotiate, trying to get a lease that starts when you want to arrive and not when you are actually applying. So the fact that they offer that as a service to where you're not, like you said, burning those months saves you a lot of money.
Yep. Lusitano Dreams offers visa-friendly proof of accommodation. So that could be for the D7 visa or the D8 visa. And their properties include detached houses, apartments, room rentals as well in different locations like Lisbon, Cascais, Lule, and they're expanding too. So soon to be Porto and quite possibly Silver Coast.
Yeah, which is really exciting.
So check out Lusitano Dreams for more information. We have a link in the show notes below. Tam, what is up? It is so good to see you. I'm really looking forward to having a chat with you because I think we're going to dive more into Portuguese culture, lifestyle, things that you've noticed over the past bit since you've moved to Portugal. We're not going to dig into the minutiae of what were the visas like and all of that stuff. Let's have some fun with this. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about music. Let's talk about sports. That's the culture I want to talk about today. You up for it?
Let's do it.
So we actually met in kind of two circles, right? We met one because you've opened up a really cool business that is a bit of sports, a bit of food and beverage. But then the other side is our love for the football club Arsenal, who just came up against FC Porto here in the city, which caused a major conflict in my heart. So let's talk a bit about what the food and beverage scene is like here and why you decided to open up a business and join the craziness.
Yeah, I mean, appreciate you having me on the show. We can start from how we first got here. My wife and I moved here about a year and a half ago, did a bunch of visits, watched your videos, loved the videos on the neighborhood. So that sort of helped out. And we came here and scoped out. So then right after we moved here, I felt that anywhere you move to a new place, it's like, you know, in order to meet friends, or new people, I feel that you know, you have music or sports. It's a great way to you know, as an icebreaker, find a common ground. And
yes.
So I picked up golf during COVID because there was nothing else to do, and then I kind of got hooked. So 2 days into the move, I go to a golf course and just start putting around, you know, chipping around. And then I meet my future business partner. And so we're just hanging out for quite a bit. And then, you know, one day we're like, hey, let's just do something, you know. And we saw an opportunity that, you know, that presented itself. We're like, you know, we love golf. There's something missing here. It's fun. You know, I feel like I can wake up and probably go to work every day and, you know, hit a bunch of golf balls. So then that sort of spiraled into like a couple of business trips to Austria, Germany, look at vendors. Then I go back in the States, and then my business partner started looking for commercial spaces. And then we found one in Montezinos, and then just began from there. So fast forward to 2.5 months of operating, I think I messaged you guys. So super busy just trying to get it up and running. Now we're like, okay, we have the golf part pretty much up and running, but the bar part was pretty empty. Okay. And so we're like, okay, what do we need? You know, we need to bring in more traffic, get some more exposure. And we know that your meetups are just, you know, 50 plus attendees. And
yes.
And so I reached out, I said, hey, we just opened this space, and, you know, be a great opportunity for your new visitors to experience something new outside of Porto.
Yeah.
15 minutes, not too far.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So then just reached out to you. And then I remember, you know, being Arsenal and they were going to play Porto. And I said, you know, hey, what's up? You know, like,
yeah,
we have a, you know, common team, and just started from there. And it was pretty funny that, you know, they played Porto at the same time, right? It was like, yeah, it was pretty, that game was pretty interesting. It was, you know, I've fallen in love with the Porto FC, but, you know, Arsenal's my team. So it's just kind of funny going with your friends and, you know, like you're just talking crap to each other, you know, until the game. And then, you know, they score the late minute goal, and just like, it was a heartbreaker. Right. So, yeah.
You know, funny enough, my heart was not broken. I was just like, okay, there's a second leg. And, at least, as Porto fans, like we get to celebrate at home,
yeah,
you know, and then hopefully the Arsenal fans will get to celebrate at their home. I know that feels strange to say, and a diehard Porto fan will be like, what are you talking about? Shut your mouth. And probably punch me, but it is what it is. Football does crazy things to people. So, you're from the U.S.
Yep.
What part?
Los Angeles.
Okay. So Los Angeles is the place that you moved from, and were you trying to, once you established the business? Because I don't think that you really necessarily moved with the intent to start the business, but when you started to put a business plan together, were you like, yeah, let's kind of make it like an LA vibe, or you were just like, let's just make it a screen golf place with a cool bar and TVs for people to watch sports?
I think, yeah, it's been a learning process. We're learning as we go. We can bring some aspects over, but we can't bring the full culture. You know, we have to adapt to what they're used to, but
local
also
market.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And the way that the golfing in the States is it's more on the drinking side, and, you know, really have social side, right?
Yeah.
So on the Portuguese, what I've noticed is you know, they play the nine holes, they'll stop, and then have a coffee, hang out for a bit, then finish the nine, and then maybe have a beer, but that's it, right? So
okay.
You don't hear the music, you don't have a cart person, cart girl that comes around and sells booze or food.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's something new. And then also, you know, indoor golf is something new, right? They do have some technology they use but for like mainly training, like, you know, you're with the coach. So we're to introduce this new concept of just, hey, you can hang out with your friends, you know, especially in the north, and the weather's not great, right? So it's another venue to come and hang out and drink, more relaxing atmosphere. So yeah, it's been interesting just learning what works and, you know, what doesn't work. So we're slowly trying to add more offerings, you know, do more events. But like I mentioned earlier, it's like there's two sides to this business. It's the golf side and then there's the bar side. So it's, you know, they come in and then they go to the golf side and they drink there. So the bar is more like, we'll do maybe more collaborate with, you know, meetup groups, do some collaborate with local artists. They can do do art openings of, you know, showcase artwork. So okay. They're on different events just to utilize the whole space. So yeah,
it's got it.
Learn as we go. So, and this is something new. I've never owned a bar before. Really didn't own a business, so I'm like have to like control myself not to drink my own, you know, not to drink. You're right. It's like, so it's pretty interesting. It's kind of nice to say, oh yeah, I can pour myself a glass, but it's you have to remind yourself that you're working.
Okay. So about what, 5-10 years ago, the idea of like Topgolf kind of blew up, right? Yeah. Isn't that the name of it? Like that chain franchise of golf where it very much infused sports and social, golf and drinking, yes, kind of together with food as well. Kaylee and I were exposed to screen golf while we were living in Asia. Like screen golf in South Korea has been known for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
Like it's a big thing there. So we actually got into it there, not really got into it, but we enjoyed it. Whenever our friends would go out for screen golf, we would go, we would enjoy it. We were terrible, which you saw as I swung the other day.
You were hitting, a righty and you're a lefty. So that was,
yeah, that's true. That's true. But did you kind of take a fusion of cultural things to bring this here? Because you said that you were playing during COVID outside, right? You weren't doing screen golf. Yeah. So why that?
Well, I think too, is like, I don't have a car here. So whenever I play, I'll ride with a friend that has a car. And so this was another way. I mean, selfishly, it's for you know, I consider this an expensive way to lower my handicap and meet friends, meet new people. But, yeah. but from the business standpoint, I think it's just I think there was a gap between, you know, people are learning how to play and then playing, and the only way they could train is you go to the driving range. Or you work with a coach. There was, you know, and then if the weather was bad, okay, then what do you do, right? So we saw an opportunity that says, hey, let's provide, first, let's have the idea of a indoor training facility, right? And then how do we differentiate ourselves, or like what's the trend right now? So then we saw that, you know, screen golf with the entertainment side, like the Topgolf, or there's, numerous facilities that are opening up that sort of fuses that entertainment aspect to it. So we're like, okay, I think that could work here. So, you know, we sort of had this open canvas of what we want to do. And then we started saying, okay, who's our target audience or market, right? Is it going to be the tourists or is it going to be the local golfers?
Yeah.
And we felt I think that the gap was more on the local side, right? Because I think the tourism is seasonal. So let's say, let's go for the local golfers. Because we, you know, ultimately we want to be integrate with the community. We want to help grow the golfing local community as well.
Yeah.
So we chose something outside of Porto. But yeah, we're slowly bringing in little pieces, right? So it's the, nightly tournaments, the, one thing that we just added was golf social, which is bringing in people that have never swung a golf club before and say, hey, come in, you know, we'll drink first to loosen up, you know, talk, get to know each other.
Yes.
We'll show you how to hit the balls and then we'll hang out after. So that's been actually pretty successful, getting a group in. It's like we let them play for a couple hours and then they hang out. And then they close the bar and then we go somewhere else. So it's been like, it definitely is more on the social side, but they have fun and, you know, they get maybe 2 or 3 hits out of 10. And, you know, I think that's all it takes, just 1 or 2 good hits and you're like drawn to the game, you know? So,
yeah, you get that energy that passes from the ball to the club, to your hands. Yeah.
It's like, you know, football, like you have that perfect, you know, the side bend or like tennis, you have the perfect hit. It just draws you, right?
I think for me, that sensation was the first time I caught a wave. Cause like I started playing soccer at such a young age that I don't remember that kind of aha moment when I like really struck a ball cleanly. But I definitely remember, you know, in my early to mid 20s, surfing my first wave and dropping in, and the exhilaration that is like, I'm hooked.
Okay.
So there are several directions I want to go, especially because you said that after you close your bar, you guys go to other bars. I do want to touch on that real quick, but I want to say this. The awesome thing about your all's location is how close you are to the metro. So while people might have to drive to a golf range or a golf course, you don't have to drive here. You can hop on the metro, you know, you play, you have a few drinks, you don't have to worry about then driving home. You can just grab the metro or get an Uber or a Bolt. Yeah. So that's awesome. Let's talk about going out and the kind of food and beverage scene in the city of Porto and Matosinhos. You're living in Porto, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But the business is in Matosinhos.
Exactly. And okay. So wanted, you know, both, you know, one foot in Porto and another foot in Matosinhos. It's not that far, but it's a different vibe.
Yeah. It is. The cities are laid out differently. The size is obviously different. So you're an LA guy, tons of great food in LA. How are you finding life in Porto, Portugal?
Oh man, there's such a variety. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. There's different, you know, ethnic foods. I grew up, you know, eating Vietnamese food, and there's like so many now. And then Korean restaurants are popping up everywhere. You know, my wife's vegan, so there's tons of vegan options for her. And then, you know, I think we moved here after, right before like the lockdown that ended. So my understanding was right, you know, during COVID, a lot of places shut down. So now I'm just seeing so much development now, right? So you're seeing little restaurants, little pop-ups, you know, popping up. Yeah. So it's like so much variety now for anyone that's moving here that, you know, like if you're, if you think that it's Portugal has just, or Porto in general has just one type of food, you know, there's so many for you now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Nice. Do you want to shout out a couple of your favorites? Any places you've become like a local to?
So I go to Adega Fage. That's where we go to after our Tuesday for the bar scene, sports bar. And then Eddie's Whiskey Bar, of course. That's where I think, you know, if you love whiskey, it's a great spot to meet new people. And he's so knowledgeable and super friendly. I go to, there's the Saturday market at CC Barbada.
Yes.
There's a couple that moved from Paris that does a Vietnamese pop-up there. So food from there.
Mexican. Is that the food you grew up on?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up on different stuff, but that's because I'm
like in the house. Yeah.
And then I've grown to more appreciate it. You know, moving away, it's like, you know, that's
harder to get
food, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mexican food, that's something else I miss, but there's a few options. You know, I think Don Pepe near downtown, like they do like small street tacos.
Yes. I like Don Pepe.
I admit I like the price.
I like value for money. I think it's the best one in town.
Yeah, you get I think tacos for like $150 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Friday. Yeah. So, yeah, there's like so many. But we cook a lot at home as well. So it's just like try to, you know, go out when for those special occasions. And then the vegan scene is pretty amazing, right? I only play a vegan once in a while, but when we do, it's like there's some nice options out there, like, you know, from low end to mid to high end. It's pretty amazing here.
So I'm not too into the vegan scene. So can you name any of the restaurants? Maybe I'll know some of them. I don't know.
We just went to, there's a place called Roots. So it's all plant-based. That was pretty good. And, okay. There's, what's the other one I went to? It's near, it's in Boa Vista, and it's like owned by a couple, and on it's yeah. Yeah, I don't remember the name of that one, but it's
okay.
More roots, because we just went there, and then there's quite a few places that even like the lower end, if you can get a vegan Francesina, basically it's like vegan cheese with like no eggs and yeah. mushrooms, you know. So
have you been to Kind Kitchen or to NOLA?
Have not
heard of them.
I've okay. heard of them. I heard of them. Kind okay. Kind is in like downtown, right? On
yeah. They just moved locations. I think actually they moved to the same street that NOLA is on.
Okay.
But now in its place, a German couple opened up like a French fry hut, kind of like a hole in the wall. Like
they knew. So you get like
French fry place, sauces and I think toppings and all that stuff. I haven't eaten there yet. We have a friend that's been there that really enjoys it. I'm pretty sure he's vegan, mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay, cool. Going back to the bar scene, I think Eddie's Whiskey Club is one of the most notorious ones, I think, among foreigners, because Eddie himself, Eduardo, lived in the UK, and yep. he moved back to Portugal. He had been a bartender, kind of whiskey savant for a while in the UK, and brought a bunch of his knowledge and everything back, hoping to reach the Portuguese market, and very much found himself with a fan and a legion of expats that were coming to support his business. So he always has fun events that are happening there. I don't know if you've been to any of his events yet, but they're great.
Yeah, I've been to his tastings. Like him and Joao, like, man, they're so knowledgeable, but like super friendly. I think the story with, it was funny with Joao, the other person working there, was that he was a customer when Eddie just opened up, and he came in with like a big tasting note of his own tasting notebook, and
okay,
ordered like a couple of drams, and then he made a note in his book, and Eddie saw that notebook. He's like, "Man, this is like
you're serious,
stupidest, right? It's like you have to work, yeah. right?" So, but yeah, they're like great guys, and then I always bring them. I always bring guests over to them, and then visiting. That's one spot. Oh, another spot, Musa das Portudas, I think the beer place, right?
Yep.
Right in the water. So that's a great venue. They do vegan options, non-vegan, and then you have this great view, and then you have really good beers too, right? So that's another spot to bring guests over as well.
Musa is a very cool spot. There are several Musa outlets, if you will. I'm pretty sure the backstory on that is it's a Lisbon beer. I think it's the one that was at least started by an American.
Oh, really?
I think that's the one. There are a couple down in Lisbon, like microbreweries okay. that have some sort of connection to the US, but I'd have to Google it actually, but. I'm almost certain that they were started in Lisbon, and then they have their outlet here, which is a very, very cool spot. It's not easy to get to.
It's not, yeah.
Especially like if you have bad knees and or bad yeah. mobility, because yeah. you're basically trekking up and down a hill. Exactly. So don't have too many pints. Exactly. Craft beer will catch up to you, but the views are spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, the view is like one of the, I think there, yeah, that's probably one of the like a hidden spot for me, I tell people. But the, you mentioned craft beers, that's like pretty, it's blowing up, I think, here. There's like yeah. so many options now. It's, you have, Catraio, I think, I always mispronounce them. It's like Baobab or Bao.
Yeah.
It's like Baobab. After Baobab, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then I've seen
Alvarez is right next door to them, opened by Brazilians. What's that?
I think they're closing.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is yeah. weird. You have, two beer places right next to each other. And
well, Baobab was first, opened by a Slovakian couple.
Yeah. No, I think they were second. They told me.
No, they So what happened was they moved in and opened up because they're not a brewery, right? What would you call them? Like a microbrew bar.
Yeah.
And then Alvarez, I think, had already bought that space. And then they realized, like, oh crap, there's a brewery that's going to be opening up right beside us.
Oh wow.
So it took a couple of months after Baobab had opened for Alvarez to then open their doors.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
Yeah.
But
I think that Alvarez was already like in the works. But definitely Baobab had opened up first. Cause we were there. Like, we had a group of friends that were there when like all the banging and stuff, like hammering and sawing was happening. It's like, no pun intended. This is a bit of a buzzkill, like sitting here at 5 o'clock, you know, trying to talk to your buddies. And you literally have a buzzsaw that is so loud you can't hear your friends.
That's so funny.
You know, and the bartender's just like shaking his head. He's like, "Sorry, guys." It's like, you can't control it.
Yeah,
and it's ironic that it's the brewery next door that's gonna do microbrews that's causing the racket.
Yeah, I'm also seeing. I don't know if you've seen it. Bars that are opened by, Belarusian, Russian, Ukrainian. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I think the one I just went to called Voyager Bar. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So tell us about this, because we ran into you, Kaylee and I ran into you last week, I think it was, at Cafe Passaport. Mm-hmm. And right. And you were telling us about Voyager. So let's hear about it.
It's opened by Russians and Ukrainians. I forget who. I think the owners are Russians and the workers are Ukrainians. So and then the concept, to me, just the way it's laid out looks like a Japanese bar, but a little bit bigger. So I remember going to a few bars in Tokyo. It's like you're like sitting next to strangers. It's that small, right? And like you're forced to like, you know, talk to people and make friends. And the layout of Voyager just reminded me of like a long bar. Like you're almost sitting to the wall. I mean, there's a little walkway, but the owners, the bartenders are like super friendly. The workers friendly, the drinks are good beers. And I just went one time and, you know, they're super nice and definitely want to go back. And then there's another wine place but somehow they're all friends with each other, which is cool. It's like a little community, right? It's like that. And then, I mentioned it was, oh, do you know about Voyager? Goes, oh yeah, we know the owners. And then, this Belarusian, coffee shop. Well, we know them. We exchange wines for bags of coffee, you know? So it's kind of cool. Like,
wow.
A community of, you know, it's building with, business owners and bars and restaurants. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Let's shift a little bit and talk about the Portuguese food scene. Are you into it? Yes or no?
So I'll switch out. I like variety. The Bifana, I love. The Francesina, it's just too heavy for me. Like once or twice, like I need to be drunk just to eat it, but it's just too heavy for me. The one I had was like it's kind of like a fried pork sandwich. That was pretty good. It's a
fried pork sandwich.
It's
I don't know.
What is it called? Like they press the meat and they fry it.
There's a prego.
But prego. I think it's prego. I don't think
okay. Because that one's not fried though. That one's like a prego's steak, bifana's pork, which totally is weird, right? Yeah. You'd think it'd be beef.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the fried sandwich would be. You also have the hot dogs, like the pork style.
I don't like that. It's
you don't
weird.
Like it?
You throw the bits onto it. I'm like, man, I really want like a proper hot dog and
an American hot dog.
Yeah. Like a bratwurst or something. But it's just to me one doesn't taste that good. The burgers are pretty decent here. But what else is
what about some of the seafood in Matosinhos? Because it's well famed, at least in Portugal.
Restaurants you go up and then like they use, you know, you want the seafood platter, you pay basically like I think like 20 euros per person, and you get shellfish, the fish, you get like a whole plate. Sorry, I'm not very descriptive with food, but it's like it, you know, you get bang for your buck. That area is known for their seafood. It's I love sardines as well. I've been looking for escargot, which is, I don't know why it's I haven't
find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caracoish. I think Caracoish? That's how to say it. Caracoish. Is it? Okay. Yeah. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't often see places in Porto that serve it, but definitely when Kaylee and I have traveled the country, you'll see signs on the front of doors saying that they have fresh snails.
I think in the south for sure, like near.
Definitely.
I think so. They have it. Yeah. With olive oil and a little bit smaller than the French style.
Yeah.
Definitely down south. Octopus. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Oysters, man, you can get oysters pretty much everywhere and they're not too expensive.
And I was going to say that. Yeah. The oysters are excellent and they're well priced.
Yeah. I mean, they were really smart because I remember when they opened up that market, they just had, you know, the seafood stand there and I didn't see too many people go there to buy, you know, the fish, you know, and then, so it's kind of pretty smart of them to branch out and say, hey, we're going to do oysters here and then, you know, get a beer with it and, you know, price, you know, then they'll add in a platter of like shrimps and sea urchins or something. So it's pretty smart to add that offering to not just only sell, you know, fresh fish, but like, hey, you can eat here as well, you know, hang out. So yeah, props to that.
Nice. Yeah. All right, let's shift gears to talk about something that you don't often get to talk about, and that's your love for music and sports. So I know we touched a little on football earlier, but what's the scene like here for both music and sports apart from soccer? If you want to talk about soccer, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, so music wise, there's quite a bit of there's some music venues here that you get like some bands that roll through, well known acts. I think from what I understood before was they used to play just Lisbon, maybe skip Porto and go to Vigo. So now you're seeing some bands will stop over and play Porto as well. And you have some really good music venues. You have Bar Ferru near São Bento, Maus Habitos. There's another place that opened up called Socorro, I think.
Okay.
That's more downtown. And that place is pretty interesting. So they have bookstore upstairs. The ground floor is a vinyl shop and then below it is a music venue. And so all of their shows will start like at 6 p.m., which is very rare here, right? So if you're like, you sleep early, that's a great venue to go to, you know, watch live music. Barracuda is another one. It's more like on the heavy side, but all their shows don't start till like maybe 1 o'clock or 12:30.
Okay.
In the morning, so it's brutal. Like you see, like, you know, they have like pretty good acts. If you like, you know, heavy metal, you know, punk, kind of garage music, then that's a great venue. But just know that they advertise it. Show starts at 11. You go there like 11:30, 12. The place is empty, and it doesn't. People don't trickle until like 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oof. Okay.
So it's definitely brutal on the body the next day. That's a great venue. And then up the street from there is Bar Ferru. So they got, you know, DJs, but also live acts. And to see a live band in there is probably like 5 to 10 euros. Good indie bands. Yeah. And it's a cool bar. It's overlooking the São Bento station.
Yeah. Have you been to Hard Club?
Hard Club. Yeah. So they have, some really good bands that play there. I think I saw War Paint. They're from LA. They came up. And so they have really good music scene there. And Plan B is another one. It's more like hip hop down in Valarish. So yeah, right. The music scene, the live music scene here is pretty good. And then if you're into like cover bands, there's like a couple places. There's Wish You Were Here, I think in Lapa. And then there's in Montezuma's Mary's Vintage Bar. So if you like the cover, like, you know, the cover band, it's surprising. The cover band scene is pretty huge here, I think, in Portugal.
I would think so.
It's crazy.
It's harder probably for original music, right, than it is for covers.
Yeah, they love the cover bands here. And it draws, surprisingly, sometimes more of a crowd than the original, you know, small indie bands. It's pretty funny, yeah. So
wild.
So one of the manager of Adega Faj, He's in a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band.
Is he?
Yeah, he's playing this Friday. They're called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Or something.
Okay. Is he Flea or Anthony Kiedis? Which one is he?
Yeah.
Is he? Okay. Nice.
Oh, he's one of the guys that comes to our golf social. So
okay.
Yeah, pretty cool guy, Andre. And then nice. Music scene. It's if you want live music, there's definitely a lot of venues here. And then the vinyl scene is pretty good. There's an Italian guy, Luca, out of Bonfim. He has an apartment of just tons of vinyl, and I think he sells it on Discogs. But you could go there and just like just shuffle through and try to, you know, dig through his crates.
Cool.
So he's opening up a bar restaurant in Bonfim.
Okay.
I think it's going to be called a Fiasco or something like that. So it's going to be vinyl, DJ, bar, food.
So, sweet.
Yeah, that area is
the scene's getting crazy here, is it not? It's just getting wild. What about sports?
Sports. Oh, so how did you choose Arsenal as your team? Curious.
So back in the early 2000s, there wasn't a lot of broadcasted EPL, English Premier League, on in the US. Right. But Fox Sports World was the main channel you could watch any sort of soccer, and it just seemed like they always had the same four teams and whoever the opponents of those four teams were. And at the time it was Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle, and Manchester United. And Arsenal was a really tough defense, and they were, you know, famous for the 1-0 to the Arsenal. I was a defender, so I would watch them and like just, you know, try to figure out what they did so I could get better at what I was doing. And then they got this manager in, Arsene Wenger, that just totally changed the game. And, you know, they started playing champagne football, sexy football. And I just gravitated really quickly to him. So I remember the transition from players like Ian Wright to players like Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Patrick Vieira, the Invincibles. And that was it. It was great. Wow. Yeah, I remember the old guard too, you know, like Ray Parler, Martin Keown, those guys, not to bore the listener, but yeah, that's how I became a fan, is their defense was so robust, but then they became this attacking team and a lot of fun to watch as well. That was it.
Yeah, they're definitely fun to watch. And it was funny because I was never a soccer fan. And I think like one, it was like during the World Cup, we were watching at work, and I just saw this one player. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Like the way he moved and the way he scored, right? And so it was Thierry Henry. And I felt like the way that a team, you know, invests in a superstar, like you, I was like the perfect test case for like, oh man, I fell in love with this one guy and I had to look him up. Like who did he play for? Right. And so I was like, well, Arsenal. And then I started watching him like, oh, this is because, I was more into, American sports, right. And then also Canadian sports. And I thought, wow, soccer was like so slow. And it's like, what's, but then once you start appreciating the buildup, right?
Yeah.
The buildup of the play, and it's the buildup to the goal. Then when I got into that, I looked back, I'm like, man, basketball, there's like too much scoring, right? There's no buildup, right? You're just going back and forth and throwing the ball in, right? So it's weird. I made that shift watching football. I'm like, I had an appreciation and, I was more in the hockey. I'm like, well, I sort of like see the similarities, right? You're building up for the goal, right? It's not like you just go in and, just shoot, but you're like, you have the set plays, there's a huge buildup. And then you see, a team can get regulated, get promoted. I'm like, wow, that's just another layer of like, anxiety that, especially if you're following a bottom, table team, you're like, what the hell, right? So it's funny. Yeah. I remember we went, we traveled somewhere to Italy, and one of the team was, I think they were playing like Juventus, and they tied the team, the game, and they needed a tie to basically stay above.
Okay.
And
stay in the league.
stay in the league, right?
Okay.
The whole town celebrate like they won the championship. It was like,
oh, sure.
What sure. the hell, right? It's like the thing, right? It's like,
and this is something that would be so foreign to the American listener.
Exactly, right?
This whole idea of relegation. Yeah. Okay. So what are some things that you miss from the US that you wish you had in Portugal?
I mean, it's funny because I thought about putting a list together, and I mean, it's just all superficial stuff, right? Like, oh man, I wish they had more like, deodorant, right? Because a lot of it's like roll on, right? So I'm like,
yeah,
it's like something you could order, but
stock up on
exactly. But and then you think about your friends, family. I think that's something I miss. But we went back recently to visit them, and it was funny. Like after 2 weeks. Like I really miss here more than it was really, it's like, you know, it's really cool to see your friends, but it's like, you know, we're starting a life here. So it's like, I mean, superficial stuff. It's like, you can basically get it delivered or somehow figure out how to get it, or, you know, people that can get it, but there's, you know, it's, there's not, I can't really think of one thing that I'm like, oh, I must have. It's like, you know, there's something similar or something that you can get by, you know, they probably have an alternative, right? So
okay.
I can't really think of anything. I mean,
no, that's fine. I mean, that's the answer. If that's the answer, that's the answer. And do you have any other advice for people that are looking to either get a service done or maybe even start a business here in Portugal?
I would say is always ask if you're going to work with someone that's in the service industry or someone that you need help with, like, you know, plumbing or anything, right? Always ask how much you're going to get charged. Okay. So this is something I want to say. So one of the negative things about opening a business here is that, you know, you assume that it's the same practice that you get in the States. Like imagine you bring a project to a construction person, right? You want a quote, right?
Yep.
You may come do a visit, but then they work on a proposal and then give you the proposal and you can decide to not go with them.
Yeah. Right?
So I can't get to the details, but we brought a project to one construction person.
Yeah.
And he gave the quote. We didn't go with him and they tried to charge us for the quote, right? So that's something that what I learned from that experience is that, and I've heard from a few other people too, is that whenever you're asking someone to come over to look at, let's say, electrical or plumbing, you want to ask upfront how much they're going to charge for that visit. Don't assume that's free. Okay. So that's my advice for anyone coming here is that, you know, it's not rude. Just say, hey, I just want to be sure how much you're going to charge for this. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's specific to Portugal, but you know, it can happen in the States as well, but I'm just saying that it's probably more, it can happen more here. So just, you know, be upfront and you're not going to offend anybody. You're protecting yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just say, hey, how much is this visit? How much, if I talk to you, how much am I going to charge? Right. Don't assume that it's free. You know, they're friendly, but once money gets into it, that relationship can get pretty sour. So like be upfront, say how much, and you know, both parties are going to be happy.
Yeah. Okay, right on. At Expats Everywhere, we believe that living abroad transforms lives. How has living abroad transformed your life?
I think, yeah, originally we wanted to move abroad just because we love Europe and try to travel more. And that was the plan. And then I sort of threw that wrench into that plan by opening a business. So it's like our travels have sort of like stopped for a bit.
Yeah.
We figure we get this to become self-sustaining, can run on its own. So we have some workers that can open and close now. So now we just have to figure out a schedule for ourselves and then get back into traveling. I think being here, it's a great hub to jump on the train to go to other parts of the country, go to Spain, short flight to, you know, another country, and then just explore. So that's something we want to do more of, hopefully this year. But in terms of, I think the vibe here, it's definitely more laid back. People are super friendly. It's easy to meet friends. So yeah, I think definitely I feel more relaxed than back home. I mean, I do miss home. It's just a different vibe. There's, you know, positives and negatives of both, but it's, you know, I'm not saying it's like super rosier, but, you know, you just get used to everything, right?
Well, Tam, thank you so much for meeting with Expats Everywhere. To the listener, I hope you find him at Fino Golf Club, which is an awesome name, Fino Golf Club. You can find him on IG. They're based in Matsuzinhos. Have a beer, swing a golf club, enjoy yourself. Thanks again, Tam. Take care.
Yep. See you again.
So listener, we know that you are preparing to move to Portugal.
We did everything ourselves for the D7 visa. So we have a DIY D7 course. We also have a DIY remote worker course now since they've split those up.
And if you're already here, we have a living in Portugal course for you. Now, the difference between the D7 and the D8 or the digital nomad visa course that you could get is if you have active income, you should be getting the digital nomad or D8 course. If you have passive income, you should be getting the D7 course. And we have a special promotion for anybody that is a listener of this podcast. If you type in podcast at checkout, you will get $15 off.
So these will just guide you through exactly what you need. They stay up to date as things change. And once you purchase it, it's yours for life. So if you're not ready to go now, you can still get it and take a look and you can use it later on.
And Kaylee is a mad lady and she is always updating the course so that it doesn't fall out of date.
Well, I have to because they're always changing things, and so it has to stay up to date.
That's facts.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Let's Move to Portugal. Contact info for all the services mentioned are in the show notes. If you like the show, please subscribe. If you love the show, please tell a friend, connect with us on our socials, and if you want to help us out, give us a review on your podcast player. Expats Everywhere presents Let's Move to Portugal is produced by Time or Money Productions.
Expats Everywhere researches our guests, and we do our best to provide factual and relevant information at the time of the recording. Despite our best efforts, we can make no guarantees as to the accuracy of what you've heard in this episode. We highly recommend that you do your own research and check your own facts.